Hello out there in this troubled world. You are tuned into the latest episode of the Rocker Dog Podcast, the show that talks to musicians about their canine companions. I'm your host, Tim Dill, coming to you under the watchful gaze of my dog, Charlie. And today we welcome to the show Louisville guitarist, vocalist Evan Patterson, the man behind the moniker J-Jal, who spent over a decade exploring the more abstract realms of the American singer-songwriter process. And these are his past and present rocker dogs.
Her name is Sandy. I got her beginning, it was January, maybe it's February of 2020.
And
she came to me via my ex-partner, Emma. And she was a foster dog at the record label Sergeant House.
Okay.
And she, I guess she was in a foster, she was at a shelter for 3 months. And then she was at Sergeant House, I think, for a couple of months. And when Emma met her, she was like, this is the dog that I've heard Evan say he wants. This is Evan's dog. And I actually wasn't very accepting of it at first. I was like, oh no, I don't want a dog again. This is not right. I had a really bad experience with a dog I had in between a dog that I had for 17 years and Sandy, and did not go well. So
tell me about that, because that's something I was aware of Betsy, who we'll get into, but I'm unaware of this dog in between. And as much as I want to paint a rosy picture for all dogs, I'm curious to, you know, just sometimes things don't work out.
I mean, it's a pretty tragic story. I mean, I adopted a dog from my cousin who was struggling with heroin and was going to go to a monastery in Alaska to become sober. And it was a puppy Australian Shepherd.
Okay.
I was used to like 17-pound Chihuahua Corgi. I got the puppy and, you know, small, still, it was 3 or 4 months old when I got it, and she was just nuts. She was just crazy, just a crazy dog. Like, and I had her for about 1.5-2 years and never calmed down. Did not get along with dogs, would bite me. I was moving kind of quickly out of the home I was in and got back with my cousin, and he took the dog back in. And this is when it gets really tragic. He OD'd on heroin, and his parents took the dog in. And his parents put the dog down because it bit one of them and gave her like 9 stitches. And I mean, it's a sad dog story. I'm like, I don't want to tell anyone that, but it's actually what happened.
Yeah. Sad story all around. I mean, I'm sorry about the dog. I'm sorry about your cousin.
Yeah. And, you know, it was one of those things of, I don't think his parents realized my connection with the dog, you know, because I wasn't really around them with the dog. And I would come over there and see Asha was its name, and they were kind of just like, oh yeah, I always forget that you had Asha. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I raised this dog from a puppy to like an adult.
Yeah,
it was very difficult. So many hospital visits with the dog also. It was like always injuring itself.
Wow. I knew the breed. I wasn't familiar with the behavior of the breed, and through this show I've heard from artists who've had that breed, it's a very, you know, they need mental and physical stimulation at all times. And I think when you're bringing that into, you know, whatever environment you have, you know, right from the get-go, you've got to set those boundaries and standards and practices of raising this dog. And it sounds like a lot more work than I'm familiar with, you know, with my dog, and I'm sure a lot of other people's dogs. So
it was a lot of work. And honestly, I always felt like there was something extra about her. Because, I mean, like, she wouldn't ever look at me in the eyes.
Right. You know?
And other Australian Shepherds have been around. They, like, really connect with their, you know, with their parents and with, you know, with their family. And this one, just, she just never would. It was wild.
Well, very interesting. I wonder if she did have, you know, issues. So, did she inspire any writing of yours?
Asha didn't necessarily. But I did write the song Ode to Betsy while I had Asha, the dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the song about putting my dog that I had for 17 years down.
Okay.
Also, you know, it's the worst thing I feel like I've ever been through.
Yeah.
Is that place with my best friend that I've had for 17 years, and she was 19 years old. So, you know, it was an influential time, I guess, to miss my old dog while I'm having the crazy dog.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing that dog lived to be so old.
Honestly, I mean, when I think back about it, it's like I was not one of the people that I wouldn't do yearly visits. I wouldn't do vet visits. I was like a broke touring musician. I wasn't making a lot of money, so I couldn't really afford it. And she, you know, was just always healthy, always great, like never any issues, and lived the longest life of any dog I've met. And currently at this moment, my partner, she has a 17-year-old dog that I'm also with her right now at this moment.
Wow. What kind of dog?
It's a mix, but it's like, I guess there's like a husky beagle.
Okay.
So it's a really interesting dog. Very, like at this point, we're having to have it on a harness and carry it up and down stairs and that kind of senior. So.
Right. Now, how did, you know, if you were reluctant and it's in this place in your life, you're reluctant for another dog after coming off, you know, with OSHA, how did Sandy win you over?
You know, honestly, I got her and I was like, I don't think she likes me. And, you know, within 2 weeks, I was by myself taking care of Sandy. And once you start feeding a dog, it loves you. She was interesting when I first got her. I mean, because she was in the shelter for so long, she wouldn't eat her food at first. And she'd only eat if I left and came back. That was the only time she would eat. And she's not that way now. She definitely wants to eat all of the food as soon as possible.
Right. And is she a Chihuahua mix?
She's a Chihuahua Corgi Rat Terrier.
Okay. Interesting. I've discovered that Corgis are cold-blooded killers.
Are they?
I mean, I can't back that up, but I there's a couple in my neighborhood that when I walk by, they're just like, they just want to tear my dog apart.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're some of the most adorable dogs, but I've heard they have a lot of health issues and because their disability with their legs being so short, run into issues in their elder years. But I mean, Sandy actually let my mother dog sit for me the first time I had to go out of town on a trip. She was just obsessed with her. Did all this research and found out that Sandy was a designer dog in California in the 90s. It cracks me up. I mean, I would have never thunk that Sandy would be a dog that people sought after, you know, paid lots of money for it in her 90s. Right.
She's a cutie.
She's a good one.
And going back to Betsy, with Sandy, I'm just noticing that she was kind of like you took her on at the onset of the pandemic. So she wasn't necessarily a pandemic dog, but did she serve a good purpose of, you know, the whole sheltering down that came like 2 months later?
Honestly, I was very burnt out on touring. Like 2019, I was touring with the Emma Ruth Rundle Band and JJL and Young Widows. And I mean, by the end of the year, I'd played almost 200 shows and was just like, I'd need to say no to the next tour that I'm offered. I just need to get my feet on the ground. And I think that was part of the concept of getting the dog, because it might make me stay home and it might, you know, make me feel more at home. And I just bought a house. And honestly, getting her and the pandemic hitting and all of the things that happened for me personally was just a complete life change and head change. You know, I feel like I was like borderline becoming mentally ill from traveling so much. And this really gave me more of a purpose in being home. Mm-hmm. I kind of can't imagine, you know, I feel fortunate that, I mean, I'm going to have her for hopefully until she's 19, like Betsy, you know, and it's such a important connection and companionship that she has provided for.
How old do you suspect she is?
You know, it's funny. They said she was 6, but they also said she was fixed and she wasn't fixed. So
it's like, how do you
I don't
say
know.
That?
Six, but I'm guessing she's about 10.
Okay. Right now she's 10. Okay.
Yeah.
Currently. Okay.
She had a litter at one point, and, you know, I don't know what her life was like before, but I was told that she was found in Compton, or donated from Compton. Mm-hmm. So it's always fun to rap a NWA song about Sandy. But, and she's also a really, like, she's a boss dog. She's like alpha. Like, she will, the first dogs will like threaten another dog.
It's always the smallest dogs.
Yeah. And she can't do anything. I mean, she's missing like all of her front teeth. I mean, she has her canines, but she's, you know, she's like definitely thinks she's more in charge than she really is.
And I'm sorry, going back with Betsy, going back, you know, 19 plus years, what was going on in your life at the time? And what was the impetus for getting Betsy in the first place?
With Betsy, I mean, I think I was 19, and it was similar to getting Sandy. It was kind of a surprise, but this was with Betsy. It was very much happy birthday, I got you a dog. Again, I was like, oh, I mean, I love your dogs, but I wasn't planning on getting a dog.
Yeah.
So right away, I was fortunate enough around that time to start working with a place that I worked, you know, between tours at a screen printing shop, and I could bring Sandy, or not Sandy, I could bring Betsy to the screen printing shop every day, which was huge in having the dog. And I've been very lucky in that aspect of like always being able to bring my pets kind of where I'm working.
Mm-hmm. What kind of dog was Betsy? I've seen she's like a tan. She looks kind of maybe Chihuahua mix, but was she?
She is Chihuahua Corgi, is what I was told.
Yeah. Okay, a similar thing.
Sandy's a little more rat terrier than Corgi, but she definitely has like the bigger kind of Corgi ears and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So it's funny, recently I was just thinking, like, you know, going into this podcast, it's just two adults talking about dogs, and I won't say it gets silly, but it just, the question that popped up to me is like, what makes me a dog guy? And that's the question I want to pose to you.
Honestly, I think it's having something else to take care of besides myself, which makes the whole companionship and connection with a dog so rewarding. It's once you get that connection of just like, I have to go let the dog out, I have to take the dog with me, I have to make sure the dog's fed, I have to, you know, make sure this beautiful little creature isn't going to die. You know, it's like those feelings are the most rewarding that I have felt. And, you know, I haven't told anyone on my internet life world, but I'm actually becoming a father in 3 months. And the whole concept of it, a lot of people have been like, oh, that's going to be so crazy for you. And I'm like, honestly, it just sounds normal. It sounds like it's going to be wonderful. You know, it just sounds like another step in the direction of doing things and providing and being loving and caring as I like to be. You know, like those honestly keep me going besides making art.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
I've got two children, so I can attest that it's a very exciting time, and you know, good luck. It's a lot of fun, and it's a challenge too, but you know,
I'm sure always set up about having a baby or a little kid. I'm worried about having a teenager. So
yeah, that's where I'm at right now. It's it's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
So in the same kind of topic, what makes you a dog guy to other people around you? I've seen the pictures of you and the dog at the studio, you know, so are you a guy that the dog is a constant companion, so people in your life see you're always around a dog, and you know, is that how you become a dog person to someone else?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, I feel like a lot of my friends, closer friends in town, especially like in our little artist community, it's not a big city in the terms of what's going on creatively. It's very tight knit, and you know, my compadres in that world of art and creating all have dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we have gatherings, there'll be, you know, more dogs than our people,
right?
And you know, there's a bar I go to frequently, and the bar is like a very dog friendly bar, and that bar has, you know, there's times when I go there and I'm just like, this is too many dogs, you know. Like this is supposed to be a relaxing, but you know, I think that maybe people just kind of see, you know, I've had a lot of comments about like, because you know, I'm 6'4" and I'm a big person, and a lot of people are always like, so funny that such a big person would have such a small dog.
Right.
That's the most comments I get from other people, and I just honestly, after having Asha and how out of control and how hard it was to ever get her to calm down, I would say I will never have a bigger dog. You know, there's something about having a dog you can just like pick up and carry with you, and like immediately calm down, and almost feels a little more. People with big dogs, I'm sure, would argue with me, but there's just a little more connection because it's such a small creature that it needs a little more attention, a little more cradling.
Yeah, I was going to say, just on a physical aspect, you know, as much as some dogs, big dogs, and like especially pit bulls are love to cuddle and be next to you, you know, you're probably physically more in your arms on your body as a, you know, chihuahua and a small dog.
Exactly. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about your music. You mentioned Ode to Betsy. You have a song off your new album called When We Are Dogs. And one of your collaborators, you mentioned in a post, this is Bonnie Prince Billy. You mentioned him as a fellow dog lover. Mm-hmm. What kind of dog does he have?
He has these little, I want to say, they kind of look like the like little Scottish Terrier.
Terriers.
Yeah, they're probably like 6 to 8 pounds.
Okay.
He was my neighbor kind of like through an alley for a few years and would see, you know, we'd see each other walking dogs around. And, you know, he's been a person also to like bring his dogs to gatherings and things like that. And when I had the idea of collaborating with him, there'd always been this thought of somewhat of a failed relationship. And maybe we'd be better off as being neighbors and friends than we would be living under the same roof. And that's kind of where the idea of When We Are Dogs hit me. It was just like, so we're just two wild dogs living on the same street, having like the best of time, enjoying each other's company and getting into the trouble, getting into like all the beautiful things, but just we exist best living next to each other.
Yeah. Okay. And it's funny too, the video even has like a dog connection. There's a dog in the video. It's a very, you know, beautiful black and white mesmerizing video by Richie Beckett and his dog Marvin, I guess, frolicking around Wales.
Yeah.
Did you know Richie, or was he someone you reached out to specifically to do the video?
We've been friends for a few years, and that was another part of kind of in my mind when I was writing the words to the song. I just would see he was always making videos of his dogs going through the fields in Wales. And, you know, I mean, it just looked like Lord of the Rings or something, you know, just right. So beautiful and all of that footage. So when the song was completed, I reached out to him. I was like, you know, I think it'd be really incredible to get your dogs just roaming around for the song. Like, you know, no real plot, just you filming your dogs. And he was very excited about it because he actually was changing his living situation and one of the dogs was going to go to a new family, but he actually didn't get to film both of the dogs because he just ran out of time.
Okay.
Marvin ended up being the solo star of the video.
And Marvin looks like, I mean, I could be wrong. He looked like an Australian Shepherd.
He does. Yeah. And that's that kind of energy is this leader of the pack, like running down the roads and through the fields with no care or worry. It was great. I mean, and honestly, and what he created with that video was perfect. I couldn't have imagined anything else to be a companion with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I wound up each show with the Zoomies, and that's just five quick frivolous questions that everybody gets. The first question is, do you kiss Sandy on the mouth?
Yes.
That's the correct answer. She looks the part.
Yes.
Question two is, if Sandy had a theme song, what would it be? If she had walk up to the plate music or, you know, red carpet music?
It goes, it's Sandy's dinner time. It's Sandy's dinner time. And she gets very excited.
I was going to say, it looks like you might have to... when we hang up, you might have to, you know, provide. That's awesome. Question three is, I assume she doesn't tour with you. If she did tour with you, what would she insist be on the tour rider?
Be on the tour rider. Funny story is that when I first got her, I had her for 3 weeks and I was going to go play a show in Akron, Ohio at the Earthquaker Device pedal manufacturing headquarters. And the morning I left, there was blood all over my sheets. And I was just like, they said she was fixed and she was not fixed. So I had to cancel my friend who was going to watch the dog and called the Earthquaker Device friends and said, So I woke up, my dog is having her period, which I didn't think was going to happen. And okay, if I bring my dog and heat to the warehouse for the next 2 nights. And they're just like, of course, we have dogs. We know how it is. And I'm like, okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Anyone who knows, like, having a dog in heat is not ideal for traveling or for anyone to dog sit. So
yes, I can imagine. I haven't been through it, but I can imagine.
But I think what she would, I think she likes those bowl pizzles. I think she'd need lots of those to go on tour.
Okay. That's a must in the backstage catering area.
Yeah, it's a favorite treat, the bowl pizzle. The ridiculous treat, but
she looks like she understands. Question four, do you use a dog voice? Do you speak to her in a high-pitched baby voice, or?
Not really, no.
Do you give her a voice and speak through her as if what she would sound like?
I think I give her like a Pepe Le Pew kind of voice. I've had people, it's strange that I talk to my dog in a normal voice.
Yeah, I get that quite a bit, though. I often say, so you speak to it peer-to-peer.
Exactly.
And finally, question five, is there a dog organization or service you'd like to give a shout out to?
There's the Shively Animal Clinic that's in the south end of Louisville that is the most chaotic veterinarian clinic I've ever been to. And they have saved my ass many of times with emergencies, and they're affordable. And what they do there, I can't imagine this city being the same.
All right. Now, speaking of emergencies and dog drama, do you have a go-to story for any of your dogs, whether it's entertaining or more dramatic than anything else?
There's a lot of stories with Betsy, clearly, but one of my favorites is I was on tour and my roommate was watching Betsy, and there was a post on the local Facebook page, which I'm never on. But I have a partner that's living in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And my partner from Santa Fe, New Mexico calls me and says, Betsy is on the Facebook Messenger page. It's being lost.
Oh, no.
And then he's like, how did you find out? And I was like, well, my partner saw it. And then he's like, I've been out like on the streets for like half an hour looking for her. I don't know where she is. Well, here's the number. Call the number. And she was literally next door, you know. He just walked outside of the house and the neighbors got her. And, you know, I thought that was really great. The chain of events that led to my dog being lost.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Well, Evan, thanks for coming on the show and sharing Sandy, Betsy, and I already forgot the name of the other dog. Was it Chaya? Asha. Chaya? What was it?
Asha.
Asha. I knew it had something with a sh in it. But yes, thanks for coming on and sharing those experiences.
Appreciate it.